Hello, everyone. Welcome to the CCW podcast. This is Al.
Hi, everybody. It's Dagny.
Welcome to episode 5. I think we're going to call this one CCW 101, the basics of carrying a concealed firearm. So basically, it took until episode 5 for me to really decide to start on a sort of a introductory podcast on how to go about getting your CCW permit and what living the CCW lifestyle is really like. And to give you a reminder, it's how to carry a concealed firearm legally. So, any thoughts, Dagny?
Well, I'm getting ready to go through it, so it's just going to be a good preview for me.
Okay, so chime in anytime if you have any questions. But otherwise, I think that the first step, obviously, is to make the decision that you want to get your permit. And the CCW permit or license is called many things in many states. You might know it as a CHL, Concealed Handgun License, CPL, Concealed Pistol License, CCW. The acronyms are many, but they all basically mean the legal right to carry a firearm concealed. And if you're from, I'd say the majority of the states in the union, you're probably living, hopefully you're living in a state that's shall issue, meaning that if you're a relatively law-abiding citizen, you're not a convicted felon, and you don't have any mental illness or anything, you'll probably be able to get your license if you are willing to jump through a few hoops. And usually those hoops are things like taking the class, filling out the paperwork, getting your fingerprints, and obviously paying the fees, and just having a background check taken. And I think that's usually limited to a criminal background check. And obviously, if you did serve in the military, that you didn't have an dishonorable discharge or anything like that, I think that is unique to our state. I'm not sure. People from all over, please chime in what the various requirements are. But the first decision is that you decide you want to get your permit. And you have to make that decision. No one really can make that for you. I think if for those lucky people in Arizona, you can carry concealed without a license legally. So you don't really have to make the decision to get a permit. You just have to make a decision to carry. Which brings me to point number 2. You have to buy a firearm that you will carry. And thin is pretty much in these days. The 1911 that I carry is really thin, and it's not a very long barrel either, so it's very easy for me to conceal. There are various 380s that I know Dagny has tried, and we mostly pick that one because she wants to conceal it on her body, and she's a petite lady, and it's going to be a big challenge as to finding a good firearm for her to be able to conceal and still wear her normal wardrobe.
Yeah, I would never consider the purse carry option. So it's definitely going to be probably a little bit of a challenge for me.
What is the purse carry option?
Well, most places that sell holsters and stuff will sell purses that are designed. They kind of have a holster built in a compartment that's kind of separate for the gun itself. And I am not big onto purses anyway, and I have a tendency to just leave it places when I can get away with it so that I don't have to lug it around everywhere. It's just not a good option for me.
That's right. I mean, when we go grocery shopping, she typically puts it in the cart and, you know, it's not always right by your side. And yeah, we all know that robbers like to purse snatch. I mean, they're called purse snatchers sometimes and for a reason. The last thing you want to do is arm these folks if they're not already armed. But yeah, that point number 2 is buying a firearm that you will eventually carry. And you can do this two ways. I bought my firearm and then took my class, the CCW class, with it just so I'd be familiar with it and You don't actually get to, at least in my class, draw from your holster. But I just wanted to get more familiar with my firearm and actually receive instructions on how to use it in the class. Whether or not you actually want to get licensed first and then get your firearm, that's up to you. I know that people who do get their permits, at least in our jurisdiction, anytime they want to buy a firearm, like anytime if I want to buy a firearm, I can just show my my permit and purchase whatever I want at any time. Before that, I'd had to take a little test to answer a few questions to get a purchase permit. That basically gave me 10 days from the date of the permit to buy a firearm. So, whatever is more convenient for you. I'm kind of the school that you buy your firearm first and give it a whirl through your class. And if it's after that class you're still comfortable doing it, it's a pretty good indicator that that's a pretty good firearm for you to carry and maybe develop some comfort with it. So, the next steps, I think, are just as vital in the CCW process. I think that it's one, if you know, say you took your class, you made the decision to take your class, and you're waiting for your permit to arrive, it's probably a good time to get a nice belt and a nice holster. Several, if you can afford it, just because you never know what you're going to really like, and perspective is everything, you know. So give a couple belts tries and different types of holsters a try. Currently, I carry a couple Galkos. I only use one, but they're really good for my appendix carry position. It's, not the top of the line, custom-made holster, but for stuff that you can get off the shelf, I believe Galco is really quite reasonable and quite durable. And I, carry an appendix position, so that's a good holster is a must, I feel, just because you don't want it to ride too high and print, which means show the outline of the gun to people, and I find that Galco holster does quite well for me. I think the brand is called USA Ultimate Second Amendment. The model, highly recommend that model. That's my everyday carry holster. And you also want to buy a good belt. You want to buy something that'll keep your pants and your gun up. Shame on me. I've only bought one belt, and it's really, really good. It's a 5.511/5.11 tactical belt. We got it at Cabela's, I think, during one of our trips, and that was it's a really nice belt. I think it's made out of nylon, and it does a really good job of keeping everything where it needs to be. And so,
Why don't traditional belts work? Could you kind of explain that?
yeah, it's a good question. I think the traditional leather belts and typical belts you're gonna wear aren't rigid enough. They aren't sturdy enough to support the extra weight, particularly from the weight of a firearm. A belt is not really meant to support a lot of weight. I mean, essentially, your gun belt is gonna have to act like a tool belt, sort of. It's gonna have to support a tool of a different kind. So, gun belts you'll see are. Even leather ones are designed to be much tougher and much more rigid than a typical belt you'll get at a clothing store or department store. So definitely get a good belt and holster. And it's also a good time to build on and train on your fundamentals. You took your class and you probably picked up a few tips if you're new to shooting, and if you're not new to shooting, maybe you just fine-tune all the experience that you already have. And, I could make a whole show on that, reading, probably quoting different sources rather than myself on how to train and practice. But get your, you probably will, it'll probably take about a month, 2 months, 3 months, depending on where you live, up to 6 or 7 months. I hear that in New York, if you can get it, it takes about a half a year. But when you pick up your license, the only thing left to do is to start carrying. And I really encourage that you carry every possibility every time that you can. Just even in the meantime, while you're waiting for your permit, why don't you try to carry in the house? You're perfectly Now, check your state's laws, but I'm pretty sure you're allowed to carry in your home. So why don't you just practice doing that and get comfortable with it and really realize that it's, unless you're carrying a little 380 in your pocket, it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. And so see what you can live with, what level of discomfort you can live with, and try to do it in an 8-hour day if you're at work, and see how that works for you, and try to fine tune your carry location. Currently, I carry in the appendix position, and if you're familiar at all, people usually refer to the places they carry by using a clock. If you would imagine that you're staring straight ahead, that would be 12 o'clock, and your right hip would be 3 o'clock. Your tailbone or your butt would be 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock would be your left hip or your. And so if you were carrying where I carry, you'd say you carry in the 1, 1:30, 2 o'clock position. That's the appendix position. And most law enforcement officials carry it at the 3:30, 3 o'clock position, 3:30 being slightly behind the right hip if you're right-handed. Obviously, if you're left-handed, you'd be carrying either at 9 o'clock or 8:30, yeah. So try to find a position that's right for you. Like I said, I found really good comfort in the 1:30 to 1 to 2 o'clock position. I find that I can move it anywhere within that position time zone, I guess, and feel really comfortable. I know Dagny has tried it once in a while around the house, and she kind of prefers the almost the cross draw, almost like the liver position, I'd say, and that would be what, 10:30, 11 o'clock position. You want to talk about
Yeah.
that?
Oh, it's just I don't know why it's more comfortable to me. For me, I don't know, being a woman, if I'm like, I'll leave and I'll be doing housework and stuff. I'll carry stuff on my right hip, laundry baskets and stuff. That might be why, but it's just more convenient for me if I want it right with me to tuck it in on that left of center as opposed to right of center in the front.
Right, that 11, 10:30, 11:30 position. It's real neat for her, and she puts that 45 in there, and I can't see it either.
Yeah, if I have a hoodie on, it's actually concealed pretty well,
Right.
surprisingly.
Can you, when you sit down, have you tried sitting down with it at all, and did it feel okay?
Oh, it wasn't super comfortable. I would end up taking it off if I
Does
was
it
gonna sit.
leave a mark or anything?
I honestly don't know. I just remember that the barrel was long enough that it would hit my thigh and stuff, and it was an awkward.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and that happens from time to time with me too. Even with that 3-inch barrel length, which is pretty much as short as you can get with a 1911, it still sometimes jabs me in my thigh, and that's disconcerting, and it's less than comfortable, and it makes me wonder if I'll be able to carry a 4-inch 1911 or longer in that appendix carry position, but. That's another topic, I guess, for later. The main point of this is carry once you get your permit, and find a place on your body that you can carry it concealed. And maybe someday, you'll change it up, and obviously you'll have to take into account what type of gun it is. If you have a 380 or a J-frame snub nose, a 380 semi-auto or a J-frame revolver. You can usually carry that in your pocket, and that level of convenience is really something to be taken into account, especially if you're in the warmer climates or in the summer months. Right now, I can carry my 1911 all 4 seasons, no problem. Obviously, in the winter, I can carry it since I'm wearing heavier clothing, but in the summertime, I can just carry it in the appendix carry position and just wear a longer t-shirt, and I haven't really had any problems, have I?
No, I mean, except if you just find yourself kind of on a road trip and stumble on a beach, it's not, if you want to carry, it's not
Yeah,
conducive to just taking a t-shirt off for a while to kind of relax on the beach without even swimming. You can't do that.
there have been occasions where we've gone to a beach, and obviously I have to do a really good job of just enjoying myself without having my shirt off or anything like that. And I don't know. It's I obviously can't swim with it or shouldn't swim with it, and I know you like to go into the ocean sometimes or into the water sometimes, so lakes. But So, and then I think a really big point is when you get your permit, you have to become a better person. And I'm saying you're not a good person right now. But the people who have the licenses right now and do carry understand what I'm saying. You can't be as aggressive or wild as you used to be. If someone gives you the finger on the freeway, maybe you returned it before you got your license. But don't do it anymore. And just because it's just, you never want to escalate things or force something, make a mountain out of a molehill, something innocent that could have happened just by a misunderstanding, and you just return that, shout or, someone who's staring at you aggressively, you just let it slide to the extent you can until obviously you feel like you're in fear for your life or severe bodily injury, or someone that you love is under the same threat. But basically, be a better person because you represent all of us, and it's we all kind of all of our CCW permit holders, I think, feel like we wait and hope and pray that anytime we hear an incident about someone who's gone a little off the wall, doesn't have their permit, and any kind of shootings that they're not one of us, I guess, so to speak, because we like to think of ourselves, I sure do, as a company of people who are the good guys, and good ladies. So please keep that in mind when you do get your permit. You're held to a higher standard now, and meaning that, we can't be ever the aggressor in any kind of self-defense encounter. And I won't get into all the legalities on this one, this podcast, maybe someday down the road, but just make sure you keep that in mind. You're held to a different standard once you get your permit, and don't do things like drink and carry, and don't flick off people on the freeway, and don't have road rage, don't do things that are, kind of aggro male activity or aggro female activity. Anything you want to add in there, Dagny?
I don't think so. I'm sure when the time comes, I'll have plenty to say about carrying as a woman and the different positions and holsters available. But right now, that search hasn't even started since I'm not 100% sure on a gun.
Yeah, for her to back up, we haven't gotten even. I mean, she's definitely made the decision to get her permit and take the class. It's just, should she take the class before she finds a firearm, or should she just buy a firearm that she really likes and then takes the class with it? That's kind of the dilemma we're under. And then I guess the last couple points is to keep refining your technique. Whether that be how you carry, how you draw from your holster. Do practice a lot, and I know Masayub doesn't like to call it practice. He likes to call it training, so we can call it training or we can call it practice. It's just semantics, for the most part, in my mind. And just always remember the fundamentals. Get a nice book on how to draw from your holster, from a concealed holster. I know Masayub has a book, The Gun Digest Guide to Concealed Carry. I think it was published in 2000. I have it right here with me, 2008. So it's a relatively new book, and it's a really good source on all things concealed carry. And I really recommend his other book by Gun Digest on combat handgunnery. That one's pretty informative as well. Not so much for CCW in particular, but just how to handle your firearm and how to use it and how to shoot accurately and things like that. So fundamentals will never go out of style, and it's like any other martial art. Fundamentals is everything. Even the masters say that, mastering fundamentals is much more important than knowing 10,000 different moves. And I think it's even Bruce Lee who once said that he would be much, much more afraid of a man who knew, who practiced one kick 10,000 times than someone who practiced 10,000 different styles one time. And it's definitely that way. In the gun fighting arts, I guess, there's also a term that says beware the one gun man, meaning that if he only has one gun, he's probably really, really proficient with it. So it's an interesting corollary that I just wanted to point out to you guys. So I think that'll about wrap it up. Do you have anything to say, Dagny?
No, I'm just taking it all in today.
She's been a real quiet co-host today, and I think it's because I really wanted to get a CCW 101 podcast out, and she felt like it was more of my topic. So hopefully we can expound upon it once she's got the process underway of getting her own. But if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us at ccwpodcast@gmail.com. Seems like we added a follower on Podomatic, and that was real nice. And we got another fan mail, and I don't want to say fan mail. We got an email saying some nice things for us from to us from our a listener in Nebraska. I won't say his or her name just because I haven't asked for permission, but I want to thank them for that email. It was very, very kind, and please send your constructive criticism, your nice words, your mean words to us at ccwpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you and stay tuned.
Bye.